Today I'm going to do a Q&A. These are questions that were submitted to me by my subscriber list. And let's just dive right in with question number one. This question is from Daniel from Australia. And Daniel says, I've been doing really well in the last few months and sleeping really well for the most part. I only started sleeping well after I realized on days I was going to the gym and lifting weights, I couldn't sleep for the life of me and felt more on edge and anxious. So I stopped going to the gym and sleep fine. Only problem is the gym is one thing that makes me really happy, and when I feel good about my body, I'm just much happier in general. I really want to get back into it, but not have my sleep suffer. Have you ever heard of anything like this or have any ideas of what could be causing it or how I could combat it? Should I just suck it up and do my workouts and hope that my body will get used to it again? I'd really appreciate any ideas or advice you would have. And then Daniel sent a follow-up email and he says, I generally go to the gym around 4 p.m. and go to bed around 10:30 or 11. So I didn't think that would be a factor, but this has only started happening since my anxiety came back. Before then, I could go to the gym at night and still sleep like a baby. Okay, so kind of summarize what Daniel said here is Daniel's concerned that his going to the gym and working out is disturbing his sleep. And he's asking me, should he give up the exercise or sacrifice the exercise so he can improve his sleep? But then he adds in the follow-up email that his sleep problems started only after his anxiety came back. So I think this is actually key to my response here, Daniel, is it seems like the problem here is not the gym or the working out, but the anxiety, since the sleep problems started only when the anxiety came back. And anxiety is one of the three main causes of insomnia. So I'll say a couple things here. First of all, exercise generally helps sleep, not hurts it. And you probably know that. Although it's not, you know, everybody knows the amazing benefits that you get from exercise in so many ways, physically, mentally, emotionally, but there's not a lot of talk about how exercise actually helps sleep, and it actually does. It tires you out, it relieves stress, it changes your focus. It also raises your body temperature, which is a good thing because you get a steeper drop in your body temperature from the time that you exercise to the time that you go to sleep, which is a good thing because you want to have a lower body temperature for sleep. Now, the only problem that can arise with exercise and sleep is if you exercise too close to sleep. So you don't want to exercise any less than 3 hours before you go to sleep. Otherwise, the exercise could keep you up. So the ideal is somewhere between 3 to 6 hours before you go to sleep to really get the most sleep benefits from exercise. And really, you know, Daniel, you don't want to give up exercise because it's so important to a person's health. You get so many benefits. And I don't think that's the issue that's going on here from what you're saying. I think the issue is anxiety. So I want to go over a couple of tips about how to manage anxiety if that's getting in the way of your sleep. Now, you didn't specify, you know, kind of the type of anxiety you're having or how it's disturbing your sleep. You know, we can have problems falling asleep, staying asleep, or both. And anxiety we can have about sleep itself. We could have worries about sleep itself, or the anxiety could be about other things going on in your life, like work, health, relationships, things like that. And both of those things can keep a person up. So let me just go over a couple of tips, some strategies that you could use right away to help you. And this could apply to either, let's say you've just gotten into bed to go to sleep, and the anxiety comes on then and it's keeping you from going to sleep. Or let's say you wake up in the middle of the night and then you start getting anxious and you can't get back to sleep. You can use this technique for either of those. So the first thing is, once you get in bed to go to sleep, if you don't fall asleep within, let's say, 30 minutes, then you want to get out of bed. Now, what a lot of people do is they stay in bed because they think, oh, if I wait just a little bit longer, I'm going to fall asleep. Or they worry that if they get out of bed, they're going to lose precious sleep time. You know, maybe if I just try harder to go to sleep, you know, and then an hour later, they're still lying in bed. So generally, you want to get out of bed after 30 minutes, whether it's anxiety or whether you're just not sleeping. And the reason for that is whatever you do in your bed for a, you know, a decent amount of time gets associated with the bed. So if you're lying in bed and your mind's going and you're worrying and you're awake, the longer you're in bed doing that, the more it gets associated with the bed and the more the bed can become a cue for being awake. And so to break that pattern, you want to get out of bed and go into another room. Now, this can be very difficult for people to do because it might be warm in bed and it might be cold when you get out. And as I said, there's all those worries about a wasting time. But you're more apt to fall asleep quicker and get tired quicker if you get out of bed. So it's counterintuitive, but it's the most helpful thing to do. So you get out of bed, you go into another room. And the reason you go into another room again is you want to break the association between being awake and the bedroom. Go into another room, keep the lights dim. You don't want to turn the lights on. And if you're anxious, so for Daniel, anxiety is caused by worry, is those worrying thoughts in your head. What if types of thoughts? Well, what if I don't get enough sleep? Well, then I'll feel like crap tomorrow. Or, you know, I'm worried about, you know, getting, you know, laid off at work. Or so the worry could be anything. And what you want to do is get that worry out of your head, because that's the thing that's fueling the anxiety. And one of the best ways to do it is to do what's called a mind dump. A mind dump. You grab a pad of paper, and I would avoid using a computer or an iPad or something like that because of the light will wake you up even more. And so you just get a pad of paper, a pen, keep the lights dim, and dump all of those worries that are going through your head out on paper. Don't stop. Just whatever it is, just keep writing and writing and writing. If there's a lot going on in there, just keep putting it all out on paper. And don't worry about what the worries are at that point. Don't judge the worries, which is what a lot of people will do, is, well, why am I worried about that? You know, what's the matter with me? You don't want to get into any of that. You just get whatever that content is in your mind out on paper. And then put that aside, put the pad aside. You don't want to deal with it then, because that'll just get you more anxious and get you more ramped up. You tell yourself, I'm going to deal with that tomorrow, and you put it aside, and then you do some kind of relaxing activity. You don't want to get right back into bed unless you are actually sleepy. So that could be meditating, listening to relaxing music, reading. Nothing that's going to wake you up, something that helps you relax. And you stay up and you keep doing that thing until you are sleepy, meaning you're starting to nod off. You don't want to fall asleep on the sofa or anything. So as soon as you start getting sleepy, you get back into bed and you go to sleep. If the same thing happens and you can't get back to sleep in 30 minutes or so, get back out of bed and go do the same thing. Now, what the mind dump does is it gets all that worry out of your head. It, number one, you're acknowledging the worry instead of trying to push it away, which usually only makes it stronger. And you're getting it out of your head. And many times that could be a very effective skill, because now it's not in your head, it's out on paper. And it creates a lot of relief. You don't have to, you know, think about it anymore because it's down on paper. The thing is you do then the next day or as soon as possible want to deal with those worries, with those concerns that were going through your mind. Otherwise, they'll just come back. And there's so many skills. There's just dozens of skills that you can use to combat and eliminate worry and anxiety. I'm going to give you one really effective one today, Daniel, which is asking yourself this question. So the next day, right, this is at some point, you find time to sit down and read the worries that you wrote down on the pad. And you want to ask yourself, you look through the worries, is there anything I can do? Now, the worries might be focused on one particular problem, like sleep itself, or it could be work or something like that. But you can only deal with one worry or one concern at a time. And you ask yourself, is there something I can do? So let's say you say, well, you know, my worries are all about sleep. Is there something I can do? Well, yeah, you can learn skills to learn how to better manage the anxiety so you can sleep better. So, well, one thing you did was you emailed me. So that was something that was active. And hopefully this answer will actually help you improve that problem. You can get a book on the topic. You can go see someone about it. But basically, decide, figure out on paper, what can I do about this worry? If there's something you can do, and then you take action as soon as is possible. Now, sometimes we have worries that are called unproductive worries, which are worries that you have no control over. So if you're worried about the weather the next day, if you're worried about what someone else is going to do, you don't have control over those things. You can't control the weather. You can't control other people. And all you can do is learn how to react better to those things or deal with those things better. So that's something you could think about. But otherwise, with those kinds of worries, you want to learn how to let them go. And that's something we could cover on another show. There's a lot of different skills for when you have a worry that you know is unproductive or is just, you know, it's not true. How do you let those things go? So I'm not going to cover that today, but just making that distinction in your mind between this is a worry I have no control over and this is something that I can do something about, that in and of itself will really help to reduce the anxiety. All right, so I hope that helps, Daniel. Going to move on to the next question. And this question is from Kara Zoller. And Kara asks, if I've had a bad night of sleep, what time and for how long is it okay to rest during the day without affecting my night's sleep? That's a great question, and it's a very common one. After you've had a really bad night of sleep, you're going to normally feel really tired the next day, and you're going to be tempted to do things to compensate for the bad night's sleep. Now, what Kara is asking here is, how long is it okay to rest? Now, I'm not sure what you mean by rest, if you mean just, you know, relaxing and chilling out or taking a nap, because those are two different things. Now, rest, totally fine. You should, you know, rest at certain points of the day. That's a good way to manage stress. You should have downtime during your day, and particularly in the evening, an hour or two before you go to sleep, you want to unwind, you want to rest, you want to let go, because you need to do that to be able to sleep. Now, if you mean napping, and napping is a little different thing. Now, this is a more, you know, there's disagreement about whether napping is good or bad for your sleep, whether it'll hurt or help your sleep. And I think the answer to this is there's an individual question. You know, people's bodies are different and people respond to different things differently. So some people can nap during the day and sleep perfectly fine at night. And some people, if they even take a short nap during the day, that will impact their sleep at night and keep them up. So what you really need to do here, Kara, is experiment and see how taking naps affects your body. So when I had insomnia, I experimented because I would get really tired, particularly in the afternoon around 2:30, 3 o'clock, kind of post-lunch, which is when a lot of people will get kind of sleepy. And I would just experiment. So I would take a nap and then see how I felt afterwards and then see how that affected my sleep at night. Now, what I found for me personally is the napping would many times get in the way of my sleep, that when it got to the evening time and I went to sleep, I was awake and I couldn't fall asleep. And when I didn't nap, my sleep improved. So you kind of have to experiment with this. Everybody's body is a little bit different. If you are going to nap, some rules to follow are, make sure your nap is no longer than 45 minutes, because otherwise you move into different stages of sleep and then you wake up with that really kind of groggy out of it feeling that you get when you nap during the day. If you keep it to a shorter nap, let's say 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, it'll refresh you, but it should not make you like really groggy. And also make sure you nap before 4 p.m. Generally, if you nap later than that, then that could really impact your sleep in the evening. So I hope that information helps you, Kara. Okay, let's move to the third question here of the day and the final question, and this is from Judy. Judy asks, I need help with waking in the middle of the night and not being able to go back to sleep. I often go to the den so as not to bother my dear hubby and listen to a sleep meditation on my iPad. I am usually able to fall back to sleep for several hours. I am wondering if I am conditioning myself to make this a new habit. Also, I can get good quality sleep for 5 to 6 hours. I try to stay up until 11 to 11:30, but sometimes I'm too tired and doze while watching TV, and then I sleep for 5 to 6 hours and can function well during the day. Maybe that is all I need. However, I would like to get 6 to 7 hours of sleep on a regular basis. Ideally, I'd like to go to sleep at 11, which I do instantly, and wake up around 6. Happens occasionally, and I feel at my best. Okay, those are great questions, Judy. There was a lot of information in there, so I'll break down and just kind of summarize the things that I saw that you asked in here. One is you're having a problem waking up in the middle of the night and not being able to fall back asleep. You're also asking about falling asleep in the den. It sounds like you're falling asleep outside of bed, and you're wondering, is that bad, or can that become, could you condition yourself? And then the last question is how many hours of sleep does a person need? So first of all, I already mentioned when you're having trouble falling asleep, or you wake up in the middle of the night and you're having trouble falling asleep, if you don't fall asleep within 30 minutes, you want to get out of the bed and go to the other room. Now, if you're having anxiety, you can use the mind dump that I mentioned earlier and then address the concerns the next day or as soon as possible. You didn't say whether it was anxiety that was keeping you up or something else, because waking up in the middle of the night, it can happen to anybody. And so it just depends. So let's say it's not anxiety, and just for some reason you're not able to go back to sleep. Then you get out of bed in 30 minutes, go to the other room, and you want to do something relaxing. So now you listen to sleep meditation on your iPad, which is great. The only thing I would say to that is be careful about the light on the iPad, because to turn it on, you're going to get that bright light. So one thing you could do is have it queued up if you need it. But otherwise, listening to a sleep meditation is one really good technique to help you relax and kind of get back into sleep mode. But you can do any other thing basically that relaxes you. So that could be reading, knitting, doing a crossword puzzle, listening to some relaxing music. It's very individual. So, you need to find something that helps you relax. If the sleep meditation works, then that's great. The problem is you do not want to fall asleep in the den, right? So this is a general rule. When you get out of bed because you can't sleep and you go into another room, you don't want to fall asleep in that other room. And that happens to a lot of people. The problem with that is, yes, you will start to condition yourself to fall asleep in that other room and to not fall asleep in your bed. So unless you want to switch to sleeping in the den, you definitely don't want to do that. So what you want to do is when you start nodding off or you notice yourself going to sleep, you want to get up at that point and, go into the bedroom and go to sleep there. If you fall asleep without realizing it, sometimes that happens. As soon as you wake up and realize you're sleeping, you want to get up and go into the other room. Because you want to train yourself. What you're doing here is training yourself to sleep in the bed and not be in the bed when you're not sleeping. So you maximize the amount of time that you're in bed and sleeping and minimize the time that you're in bed not sleeping. Okay, so you want to make sure that you go back to bed as soon as you start nodding off. Now, your last question was essentially how many hours of sleep do you need? It sounds like when you get 5 or 6 hours of sleep, then you can function pretty well, but it sounds like that's not optimal for you. It's when you go to bed at 11 and wake up at 6, which is 7 hours, that's for you kind of the optimal. Now, you want to be careful about, particularly if you're having problems with sleep, focusing too much on the number of hours, because that can create anxiety for people. I know for me, that was one of my biggest worries, that if I didn't fall asleep, I wouldn't get enough hours, and then I'd feel like, I'd feel horrible the next day. So you want to take your mind off of, well, how many hours of sleep am I getting? Unless it's the next morning and you're using a recording, like you're using a sleep log, then you can record to kind of track your sleep efficiency. But when you're going to sleep, you don't want to worry about the hours. You just want to focus on doing all the right things and learning good sleep practices to help you fall asleep. And then what will happen is once your sleep normalizes, meaning it gets back to a normal pattern and you break out of the insomnia or the poor sleep pattern that you're in, you will go back to, your body will know how many hours to sleep, and you will kind of figure out, oh, this is about the right amount of sleep for me, whether that's 6, 7, or 8 hours. Everybody needs different amounts of sleep. So 8 hours, which is always, you hear people saying, well, you need 8 hours of sleep. That's just the average. So some people need more than that, particularly if you're younger or if you're an adolescent, you're going to sleep like 9 or 10 hours. And the older we get, we actually sleep less. But then even in that, individually, people would need different lengths of sleep. Some people are what are called short sleepers, and they can get away with like 4 hours of sleep and be feel perfectly fine the next day. Now, that's more rare. That's a much smaller percentage of people. So you don't want to just assume you need 8 hours of sleep. You want to kind of figure out what, you know, how many hours do I sleep when I feel at my best? So for you, Judy, that sounds like that's about, you know, 7 hours. But one other point here is even with the same person, the number of hours that you'll need on a particular night will vary based on kind of what you did that day. Like if you had a really hard workout, or you had a really, let's say, stressful day where you were kind of running around and doing, you might need more sleep that night just because you burned more energy. And on days where you're just sort of relaxing and chilling out and not really doing much, you may need less sleep that night. So you don't want to, you know, be too rigid about the number of hours. What you want to pay attention to more is, how do I feel the next day, right? If you feel rested, if you're alert, if you're focused, if you're able to function well, that's a good indication that you got enough sleep. All right, so that's all the questions for today. If you have questions that you want to submit to me, you can go to my website, which is drorma.com. That's drorma.com. And just go to the contact page and you can submit your questions to me that I'll answer on the show. And on my website, there's a lot of resources. When I mentioned, you need to have good sleep practices, I have a lot of resources on my website that will teach you good sleep practices, including a free guide that you can download that explains several ways to immediately start to improve your sleep. So look forward to getting more questions from you, and I will see you next time.